message here today. If you have your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter number 8. 1 Samuel chapter number 8. This was our text. The last time that I stood before you, I think it was last Sunday. Amen. And we won't read the whole chapter this time. We read the whole chapter last time. And I'm trying to figure out a good starting place. I am going to rehash a few things. Let's go down to about verse number 6. Amen. But this thing displeased the Lord, displeased Samuel. And when they said, "Give us a king to judge us," and Samuel prayed unto the Lord and said, "Lord." And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. And I should not reign over them according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." God saying, "Samuel, try your best to stop them, warn them, tell them that it's not my will for them to have a king that they desire right now."
Right.
But, amen. Verse number 11, and he said, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself and for his chariots and to his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariot." Notice verse number 11. Amen. He will take. Look here. Verse number 12. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest. And I just want to get you the picture here. I'm kind of skipping through here. He will take, verse number 13, your daughters to be confectionaries. Verse 14. He will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, gardens, yards. Verse 15, he will take the tenth of your seed.
Yep.
Amen. Look at this. Verse 16, he will take your men servants. Verse 17, he will take the tenth of your sheep. Amen. I tell you what, God said, "You don't need a king right now. I'm your king."
Right, right.
And if you try to get things your way, he's going to take. He's going to take. He's going to take. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you for standing here tonight for the reading of the Word of God. I won't keep you long. I do want to get this off my heart. I could have went another direction. We got the first part of this the last time, and I did feel like finishing this up. Amen. The high price of getting things your own way. Amen. The high price of getting things your own way. And we mentioned how that Samuel set up his sons to rule over Israel. Amen. Abiah and Joel, amen, which meant the Lord is God, and Abiah meant God is my father. And you remember how that they rejected the Lord. They began to take in filthy lucre. They began to take bribes and money. Amen. I tell you what, anytime you can choose wealth and money and possessions over God, you're heading the wrong direction.
Right, right.
That's right. You take these politicians, amen, and get into politics, and they're willing to take bribes and money, amen, and they turn corrupt. Glory to God. I believe somebody's going to stand in judgment one day, don't you?
Yeah.
Glory to God, amen.
Sure.
And I tell you, so Samuel felt the heartache, Brother George, and the disappointment as his children, amen, turned from what was right and started doing that which was wrong. No doubt that would break any parent's heart to see your children turn from right. Amen. Lord God, I hope I never have to go through that. Amen. I tell you, I want to raise them up in the ways of God and in the house of God. Amen. And I hope they stay with God the rest of their life. Amen. But I tell you, a lot of times people say, "Well, if your kids turn sour and they walk away from God, it's the parents' fault." I know this. It wasn't Samuel's fault.
No.
Samuel was a man of God. Amen. Samuel gave his all to the Lord all the days of his life. Amen. Now, he may not have been around as much as he would have liked. And sometimes preachers are that way. Amen. I've seen preachers that have to travel, as Brother Scotty said, run and go and preach and travel. Sometimes maybe you're not home as much as you would wish you could. But I heard Brother Randy Webb say one time, "God's will and God's work is above everything else." And sometimes people think only the preacher has to live like that. Well, the preacher has to give everything. Well, that's a great start. Amen.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
The preacher has to give his all,
yeah,
and give everything to God, but so should the Christian.
Amen.
Amen. So should the member at the church.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
They should be willing to say, I'm going to give my all to God. Amen.
Yeah.
It blessed my heart, Brother Tommy. I was up there, and Brother Nick Keene, that's Roy Dale. I don't know if Brother Scotty probably remembers some of them. Roy Dale's son, Nick, finally got married. Amen. And he made a joke of it for so long, and he said every time he ever dated a girl up there in the Richlands area, Brother Philip would find some way they was related. Amen. Him Hortons are related to everybody up there. And finally he got married. Amen. But he ended up moving to Tennessee, down around Tennessee to her church. Amen. And he came, I'm trying to think, Friday night he was there. And I said, man, it's good to see. We got to talking. He said, everybody's been asking me. He just got married about a month ago. He said, everybody's been asking me, are you homesick yet? Are you homesick? He said, be honest with you. I've been working, been busy, just got married. He said, I wasn't too homesick until this week. Amen.
Oh,
hey, God. That's what blessed my heart. He said, I wasn't too homesick until this week. Amen. He said, camp meeting in Richlands has always been the highlight of my life. And this church's life, amen. He said, we'd rather take off work and have camp meeting than we would go on vacation, amen. Glory to God, I tell you, that turned something up in my heart. And I thought, hey, that's why they got what they got up there, because they got people that said, hey, I'd rather call off work and go to camp meeting, amen, than I would travel off and go off to vacation somewhere. You know what that saying is? I'd rather have the will of God in my life. I'd rather put God first. I'd rather esteem the thing. That's a generational thing. People's got to learn to put God first. And if you'll put God first, God will bless you. Did you know that? I said, if you put the Lord first in your life, He'll pour out blessings on you because you put Him first. I want to learn to put God first in my life. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the sons of Samuel didn't do. I got to move on here to get to what I didn't get last time. So, you know, they turned, amen. They turned their hearts away from God. Hallelujah. And things went south, amen. And then Israel, they cried. The elders approached Samuel and they said, amen, your sons have turned sour. And so we want a king, amen. We want somebody to rule over us. And Samuel said, you don't need that. Amen. So the corruption of Samuel's son pushed him to do this. The carnality of their own mind. Amen. A lot of times we'd rather have what we want than we would what God wants. That'll get you in trouble every time.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah. I got to watch that and get too carried away here. Man. I got a lot of ground yet to cover. Amen. But people will take a job because that's what they want. And miss the will of God.
Miss the will of God.
Woo, hallelujah. Because of a carnal mind. Amen. People have moved away. Well, so such and so's offered me a big job. He down here, down there. Amen. Got to move away somewhere where there's not even a church to go to. Woo. Amen. But I'm going to make more money than I've ever made. What's more important? Having the glory of God, having a good church to go to. Amen. On a midweek and on Sunday. Is that more important? Or is making a lot of money more important? That's what I'm trying to preach to us here today. Amen. There's a high price to getting things your way. There's a high price, amen, to having things your way. Amen. I'd rather have it that way. I want what I want more than I want what God wants. It'll get you in trouble every single time. You'll pay a price, glory to God, because you want it your way. Hallelujah. Amen. The conditioning that they wanted to look like everybody else. We want to be like all the other nations. And God's people have never looked like everybody else.
That's right.
Whose question was that today? God's people is a what?
Peculiar.
A peculiar people.
Yeah.
We're not like everybody else.
No.
We don't go to the same places everybody else goes to.
That's right.
Woo, come on now. We don't talk like everybody else talks. We don't dress like everybody else dresses. Come on now. We don't act like Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm about to feel the Spirit of the Lord here. If you act like the world, and you throw temper tantrums like the world, and you, amen, somebody said, they're talking about a guy the other day, said he goes to church, but he said, you have to excuse me. Every now and then I slip one out. I ain't never did it, Brother Scotty. Amen. I stuck my toe. I hit my thumb with a hammer. I ain't never slipped one out. Come on now. If you really get it down in your heart, you don't live right on the job. You don't live right in the house. You don't live right in the church. You don't live right in the community. If you really get it right in your heart.
Get it right.
I got to move on here.
Come on.
Hallelujah. So finally we find, here's where I need to start. Amen. So finally we find, amen, that Samuel is not a happy camper. Here's one of my closing remarks last time. He had given 100% of himself to God. The very best of his youth. The very best of his manhood. And now he had even given himself as an older man, 100% to God. Look at this. Amen. From a young man, he gave himself to God. From a youth.
Yeah.
From a strong, mid-aged man, I like to feel like I'm in my strength, mid-age area. He had given a strong, middle-aged area to God. And he had even given his old age. Amen. Totally to God. And Samuel looks at the people, and they have rejected him. They have rejected his sons, and they said, give us a king. Amen. So naturally, Samuel is discouraged. His heart is upset, and he says, I give my all to God, and look at what I get in return. And sometimes, church, amen, I want to preach out here just a minute for a moment. Sometimes that's the wrong way to look at things. We look at people that we have spent our life trying to help, and spent our life trying to work, and we don't see the progress like we, amen, wish we seen. And so we say, look, God, I'm a failure. And God, I love this. Said Samuel, you hadn't failed. You did everything I told you to do. It's just their heart, amen, is leaning more towards the ways of the world. And I come to tell us, Samuel, you gave your all. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. I led them out of Egypt. Amen. I parted the Red Sea. I led them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they rejected me. Hey, God, it's a dangerous thing to reject God. It's a dangerous thing to watch God's hand in your life. Watch the pillar by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Watch him roll back the Red Seas in your life and then reject that. That's a dangerous place to be, church. I come today to preach to us. There's a high price, amen, for trying to do it your way. God has blessed. God has moved. God has made a way time and time again. But you say, no, I don't want it God's way. I want it my way. I come to warn somebody today, that's a dangerous place to be.
All right.
When I want it my way.
Woo! All right.
Amen. Well, that when a preacher preaches things that you don't like.
Come on, buddy.
Woo!
Come on.
I remember a day, Brother Daniel, when the preacher preached something, we said, oh me, oh my, I'm going to do better. Now that the preacher preaches things that doesn't necessarily go with how I'm living, we try to evaluate the preacher. Maybe he's in himself. Maybe he's in the flesh. Amen. I don't see it that way. Amen. Let me tell you something. There was a day in this country right here, amen, when people respected teachers. Oh yes, you sent your kid to school, and that teacher paddled the kids. Yeah, they really did. They paddled children, amen, and they made them mind, and there was a mutual respect where that teacher had to teach a kid. Come on now. There was a time in America when we went to a church and our pastor was somebody that we respected. Our pastor was somebody that we had confidence in. Thank God. But it's not that way anymore. It's an all-time low. with respect in the ministry and the preachers and especially the pastors in this day. Let's just know Brother Jason up there. He's just screaming and spitting and hollering and preaching. Amen. That's just how he sees it. No, that ain't just how he sees it. He's been praying. He's been seeking God. He's trying to get a burden. He's been to stir your soul away from hell. That's just not Brother Jason. You think I want to get up here and sweat and spit and lose my voice and my hair stick up and be wore out when I let out? Every time I sit through this pulpit, I say, oh God, let me preach it like it's my last sermon. Let me pull somebody out of fire like it's my last time. I come to tell us, hey, it's time we get respect for God and for the God's man one more time in this last day.
Yeah.
Samuel said, it's not in your best interest
to get a king. We don't care, they said. Give us a king.
Yeah.
We don't care. Give us what we want.
Lord.
That's a dangerous place to be.
That is.
When you'd rather have what you want than what God says what you need. Hallelujah. Woo! Hey! Six times. Amen. In verses numbered. Amen. In these verses, it says, he will take. He will take. What a difference between a man king and a God as king. I love this. Man takes, but God gives. You set you up a king, he's going to take your daughters. He's going to take your sons. He's going to take your vineyards. He's going to take your sheep and ox. He's going to take your, amen, your produce, your gardens. He's going to take everything that God, amen. But when God was leading this land, God gave. Amen. God blessed. He blessed the fruit of the vine. He blessed the home. He blessed his house. He blessed his man. But if you get a man, he's going to take everything you've got. I come to tell us right here today. Amen. Thank God. When the northern and the southern kingdoms in Israel ended up, listen to this, they ended up with 41 kings. This is unbelievable. Amen. After God said all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy, amen, when you possess the land, this is when they was getting ready, Brother Tommy, to go get the land. God said, I'm going to send you into a land flowing with milk and honey. And when you get to that land and you get established, I'm going to set up a king over you. It was God's will for them to have a king, but not right now. They were still in the era of the judges, where God ruled over his people. God was establishing his people. Amen. He said, one day I'm going to give you a king, but it's not my will right now.
All right. So listen to this. He went ahead and gave him a king. We find out the first king, you remember his name?
Saul.
Remember what Saul was? Wicked man.
Yes, he was.
Saul was a man that wouldn't even fight the enemy. David had to fight the giant. Woo, come on now.
Right.
Saul was a man head and shoulders in stature above everybody, but he was way under everybody in the spiritual realm. Come on now. But he ended up over those 450 years of kings. Amen. They had 41 kings. Only 11 of them followed the Lord, and 7 of those 11 forgot the Lord near the end of their life. Amen. So out of 41 kings, they only had 4 kings that sought the Lord through their whole kingship. Hey God, he's going to take. Glory to God. Oh, that's disgusting. Amen. That spiritual rebellion of those kings paved the way for the captivity of Israel after 450 years of being led by mostly wicked kings. Guess what happened? They ended up in a captivity. They got led away into Babylon. Amen. They lost what they had. It's a dangerous thing to have it your way. I said it's a dangerous thing to want it your way. It's a high price for getting it your way. They ended up in Babylon. They ended up in captivity. slaves, amen, but yet they got what they wanted, but they lost what they had.
My Lord.
Listen to this.
God, oh God.
Listen to this refusal. God said, you're going to cry, but I ain't going to hear you.
Yeah. Dear Lord.
Do you know stubbornness and obeying God is a curse?
Amen. Well, yes, it is.
Right. Sure. Write this down. Zechariah 7:13. Therefore, it come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. That secret sin that we talked about a while ago, that you do in the dark place that nobody else knows about. God said, amen, if he said, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. People think they can have pet sin and live free in sin. I understand there's a difference. I believe there's a difference, verse Scotty. Amen. If you sin, great God, then you have to use that advocate with the Father and say, Lord, amen, I sinned. I messed up, God. I need forgiven. I believe the Lord will forgive you for that. Yeah. David sinned horribly, but I believe God graciously, amen, forgave David. Amen. I believe that with all my heart, but it's altogether different when you live freely in sin every day of your life. Every day, amen, you know you're hiding sin in your heart. Every day, you know you're doing things that you ought not do. Yeah. Every day, amen, you know you're doing stuff God told you not to do. He said, if I regard iniquity, sin, in my heart, God will not hear my prayers. Amen.
Right,
sir.
Oh, yes,
sir. Lord.
What about a hard heart?
Oh, God.
You can get to the place when you want it your way and not God's way, your heart will get hard.
Right. Right.
What's the Bible say about that? Proverbs 1:28. Then shall they call upon me, I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me.
Oh, God.
I don't want to get a hard heart to you.
No.
Come on, come on. Come on.
I kind of hate to come home. Can't wait to really preach this today. I couldn't get away from it this morning.
Yes, sir.
Couldn't get away from it.
Have your way, man.
Here's what I feel like, and I'm gonna get ready to call us in the elders here in just a few moments. But I feel like somebody right here in this house today,
come on,
amen, you're fighting a hard heart.
Have your way, Lord.
Whew. I don't want to have a hard heart. I tell you, if you get your heart hard, it's hard for God to deal with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and so get up and sing. Why they up here singing for? I get up here and spit and holler. What's he up here acting silly for? That's a hard heart.
Yeah, it is.
Come on.
Woo. Somebody's got a good heart. They don't care who's singing up there.
Right.
If it's Hudson up there singing, they don't even know what he's singing about. That don't matter to them. They're just ready to worship God.
That's it.
We come too many times with too much agendas, too much stuff on our heart.
Yeah.
Woo.
Come on, buddy.
I'm going to go ahead and say this, and I appreciate folks wanting to hear me preaching, liking to hear me. I really do. But really, it don't matter who preaches. It shouldn't matter who preaches in this church. We should be willing to come. I don't care. You can list any nine preachers in here tonight. And if they're preaching, we should say, I'm going to be there back.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus.
Right. Don't let my heart get hard, Lord.
Don't
let my heart get stony, Jesus. I want to have a heart after the things
of God.
Yes. But no, their heart got hard. They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early. They'll not find me. If you spurn the will of God, Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. You spurn the word of God. You've heard that word. You've heard that preacher lay his heart out. Amen. You've seen them folks love and care. Amen. You turn your heart away from that. Bible said, even your prayer is an abomination unto the Lord.
Oh, God.
Somebody in this service today is in danger. This is what I'm preaching to you right now.
Oh, God.
Your heart will be turned away. And your prayer will be an abomination to the Lord. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sin will separate you from God.
That's right.
You cannot live actively in sin and have the glory of God in your life. You can't do it.
No. Come on.
James 4 and 3. I've got to move on here. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. The only thing we ask God for is those things that we want.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the key.
God bless him, Lord.
Uh-huh.
Lastly, James 1 and 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. When you're just wishy-washy, wavy, up and down. Have you ever seen such a generation of people that's so wishy-washy?
Right.
So unfaithful.
Yep.
Brother Dave Miller preached up there the other day on faithfulness. Amen.
Right.
Glory to God. I like that. He said that one brother 35 years ago, he said, I forget his name, was it Eddie? He said, Brother Eddie, will you be the door and locker around here? Amen. And he said, I sure will, Brother Miller. And he said, for 35 years, amen, every service, he showed up an hour and a half. He said, oh, I tell you what, you got to show up earlier than everybody else. You got to come a little early and unlock the door. He said, for 35 years, he's come an hour and a half early. He said, it's been a burden on their marriage. Because his wife says, honey, we don't have to go an hour and a half early. And he said, I told Brother Miller, hey, man, I'd be there early. And I'm going an hour and a half. And for 35 years, he went an hour and a half early every single service and then locked the door. Amen. Hey, God, give us some faithful men and women. Give us a church that said, hey, I'm going to quit building my life around me. And I'm going to build it around the Lord. I'm going to build it around his house. And if I do that, I'm going to see the blessing, the hand of God blessing on my life and on my children and on my family and on my job. He'll bless you every way around. I said he'll bless you in the front. He'll bless you in the back. If you'll put him first, if you'll give your life 100% to the Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Oh,
all right.
Yes. Good Holy Ghost. Pray for me, church. Pray for me. I need to get this cross. Amen. I need to get what's building up in my heart into somebody else's heart. You don't want your heart hard. You want it faithful. You don't want your heart hard. You want it joyful. You want it loving. You want the things of God, not what you want.
Right,
man. You can get it your way.
It's good.
But you'll not have it God's way.
Right.
Yeah. Jesus, holy, holy.
Gotta move on here. Isaiah, I'm about done. Isaiah 65:2 says, I spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. God's people refused to listen. They were blind. Amen. They would soon find out the high price of getting things their own way.
Right.
Rebellion would lead them to wretchedness. Amen. Did you know rebellion against God? Did you know rebellion against the man of God is a bad thing?
Yes, it is.
Amen. Sure.
Psalm 68:6. I'm giving you verses today. Hopefully you're writing these down. Go home and look at them.
Yeah.
Psalm 68:6. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains.
Yeah.
But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Amen. If you'll give yourself to God, he's going to dwell in your family. Pray God, did you hear that? This ain't Jason's word. This is the word of God. Amen. Oh yes, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. You ever had any chains on you? You ever had the enemy try to chain you up and bind you? He said he'll set the chains free. Glory to God. But he said rebellion is going to lead you to wretchedness. Rebellion is going to lead you to the hog pen. Rebellion is going to lead you to a place where you don't want to be. Help us, oh God. Amen. To give our hearts back to the Lord.
Yes, God.
I'm done here. Isaiah 30 and 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, People's willing to go to the world for counsel, but they're not willing to go to God. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
We seek counsel in all the wrong places.
Amen.
The world don't know what kind of counsel to give you.
Come on. That's right. Yes, sir.
I'm not going to go to a marriage counselor and say, hey, man, my marriage is on the rocks, and go down there at the marriage counseling session to a guy who has five wives.
Yeah.
He can't help me.
That's right.
Nobody.
That's right.
Woo!
That's like trying to get a tutor, amen, to help you pass chemistry when they failed the first go around, amen. Glory to God.
Come on now.
I got to move on here. Woe to the rebellious, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with their covering, but not of my spirit. That they may add sin to sin. It's like the blind leading the blind.
Yeah.
Sin to sin. Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Get it your way, get it your way, get it your way.
My Lord, my Lord, come on. Come on.
Trying to be careful here.
Oh God.
My cousin growing up, I've told about him before, but my cousin growing up, brother Tommy, his name was Jeff. He was told, Brother Scotty, told, leave it alone, leave it alone, leave it alone. Don't do that. You better stop it. You better stop it. And I remember when my uncle already preached one time. I was just a young boy myself. I think I was 15 when Jeff got killed on the four-wheeler wreck. And my Uncle Larry read this verse. I think it was one of the last messages Jeff ever heard. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, stiffened that neck up, and said, I'm going to have it my way.
Yeah.
I don't care about your way, Dad. I don't care about your way, preacher. I don't care about the church. I don't care about God, but I'm going to have it my way.
Jesus.
And I'm trying to be very reverent here.
Jesus.
Sister Dottie, he left his wife and two kids and went with another woman, 24 years old. Everybody told him, Jeff, it'll never work. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You know better than that. Went back to his high school sweetheart. You know what happened, Brother Tom? Caught up with him.
Yep.
One night, just like this right here. Matter of fact, we started at 5, so it was about 5:30. It wasn't very far into the service, Brother George. My mom wasn't able to go for some reason that night. Me and my dad was there. I remember that. Regular folks there in the church. And my mom come in, and she come up, tears were down her face, and she talked to my dad. And I thought, wow, something ain't right. So my dad goes over and talks to his sister. She passes out right there in the church. Screaming and hollering and kind of loses conscience, sort of like this, where she's so took with grief, and they said, Jeff has been in, all we knew at this point, Jeff has been in a bad four wreck. And so everybody was praying. We prayed and prayed, and finally folks started driving to, man, we got word Dave's down to Man Hospital. Man don't even have a hospital anymore. It's shut down. So we all started going down there to the Man Hospital. And I remember when me and my dad pulled in, Patsy and Larry was already there, and Patsy was laying out front, and once again, and she got word Jeff was gone. Four had flipped back on it. The front rack of the four-wheeler had split his head, forehead wide open, and he laid up there on the hill behind Mom and Dad's house in that little cabin they'd built up there. And he laid up there, and April said, he slung his girlfriend off the four-wheeler, and he seen the four-wheeler flipping, so he took his arm and pushed her off. And he was trying to jump off, and he didn't get off in time, and the four-wheeler squished him, Brother George, and cracked his head open. And she said she rode him over and blood coming out everywhere. And she was trying to shake him, saying, Jeff, are you all right? Are you all right? She said he was never able to say a word. He just sat there and gargled in his own body, dying in that hill. Oh, God. He that often hardeneth his
heart,
stiffeneth his neck, and said, I'm going to have it my way. I don't care about anybody's way but mine. That's a bad place to be.
Amen.
Bad place to be.
Amen.
How many girls or boys would not listen to their parents and run off and marry the first heathen to come along just to ruin their life?
Ruin their life.
Amen. Just to ruin their life.
Yes. No, no.
I know this ain't a marriage counseling session. Let me tell you something. If he or she treats you bad before you get married, it's going to be way worse after marriage.
That's right. Right.
If they talk to you like a dog before marriage, it's going to be way worse than that later.
Amen.
Amen. Got to move on here. No harden your heart. No harden your heart. Pray for me, church. I'm done. I'm just trying to feel for the Spirit of God here. I felt back there in that little study earlier, the Lord said, preach to them and tell them they might get what they want, but they'll lose what they got. They'll lose what they got. Amen. Was Saul supposed to be king? Well, there's three different wills of God. But Scotty, talking about the will of God. Amen. He didn't know I had all this in my notes. Did you know there is a sovereign will of God? What is the sovereign will of God? It is what God decrees will come to pass. It's irresistible. What God says will be. God said, let there be light, and the light comes up every day. That's the will of God.
Right, right.
Nobody can do anything about it. They can set it trying to shoot a rocket at the sun, and it ain't going to put the light out because it's the will of God for it to get daylight.
Amen.
Every day. That's the sovereign will of God. There is a perceptive will of God. What God prefers or prescribes in His Word. This includes His moral precepts and statutes. God's holy will. Amen. It's God's will for us to live a holy, dedicated, amen, sanctified life. That's the will of God for us. Now, you don't have to do that. You can live a sinful life, live an ungodly life, and you'll go against the perceptive will of God.
Right. Yes.
And then there is a permissive will of God. What is that, Brother Jason? It's what He permits or allows, even though it's not conformity in His Word.
Right.
What's that mean? That means because you went against God's will and went against God's will and you wanted it your... It was not the will of God for Saul to be king
time. That's right.
I believe God wanted a king. I believe God was probably at this time raising up David to be the king.
Yeah.
Amen.
But God gave him Saul to be king, even though it wasn't his desire. It's what they wanted.
Wow.
And He said, because it's what you want, I'm going to give you what you want.
Amen.
Amen. And I told you last time, sometimes the worst judgment God could proclaim on a people is to give them what they want and let them learn for their own self.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, yes.
So that's what He did. He gave him Saul. And they found out what a terrible mistake it was. Stay with me in this house tonight, today. Glory to God. Saul was not God's first choice. The kings were to come from the tribe of Judah. Anybody remember where Saul come from? Benjamin. God plainly said, amen, that His kings would come from the line of Judah. It wasn't the will of God for Saul to be king, but that's who they chose.
Yep.
Amen. He was a Benjamite. But guess what? David. Hallelujah. I believe if they would have waited a little bit longer, they would have got what God wanted for them.
Yep.
Sometimes, do you wait better to wait on what God wants for you than have it your way?
Yep.
Now, you get with me real quick here just right now. This is the important part of the service. This is the part where I need you to search your heart. This is the part where I need you to respond to the Word of God. I've already did my part. I've surrendered what God's put on my heart. I've laid it all out on the line right here. Now, this is your part of the service. This is what you can do about what God has spoken to you. God, am I willing to swallow my pride and do it your way instead of my way? Am I willing, God? Amen. To do away with what I want. And say, God, any way you fix it, Lord, that's all. Any way you choose, Lord, that's all right. I just want your will in my life. Thank you, Brother Scotty, for obeying the will of God, the work, obeying the Spirit of the Lord earlier. Somebody in here needs to seek the will of God, primary and first in your life. Don't let your heart get hard. Don't keep persisting to have it your way. If you don't watch out, God will give it your way. Jeff kept on wanting what he wanted. Finally, God gave him what he wanted. Lost what he had. That wasn't the will of God, Brother Thomas. First time I ever shouted in my life, I remember standing up there on the old wall. The church was a little bit smaller than his father was. All that's going to line up on that wall, Brother Scotty. I remember the first time the Spirit of God hit me as a young man. I don't even remember, 12, 13 years old. Real young, well, I guess I was at least 13. That's when I really got in church. Probably about 13. Old Jeff give out a war cry. Woo! And went running around the church. Something hit me. And I went, woo! I started running around the church. I'll never forget. It was the will of God for Jeff to serve the Lord.
Come on, come on.
It was the will of God for Jeff to stay home and raise his family. He got what he wanted. He lost what he had. I don't pray with me, church. Pray with me, church. I don't linger like this. You know my style preaching. I feel the Spirit of God here. It's just there are normal folks here on Sunday. Somebody's wrestling with something in their heart. Somebody's wrestling with something in your heart right here, right now. This is the crossroads. This is the crossroads. All right. Amen. There'll be something to step out here today and say, I want the will of God in my life. I'm going to put the will of God first. This is a chance for you to get victory right here. I wouldn't worry one iota what anybody thought of me. I wouldn't care what nobody thought of me. I'd say, God, I want your will in my life. Oh, God, I want your will, Lord. Nothing else matters. I want the will of God. I need your will in my life, Lord. I don't want it my way. I want it your way. I want it to work. I want the Spirit of God in my heart. I want the Spirit of God in my life. I want it your way, Lord. Oh, God. Come on, church. Come on, church.
Thank you. Why should I worry? Why should I? Hallelujah.